I want to teach today a lesson that I believe will be an encouragement to you. And it's a lesson dealing with covenant, in specific, the beauty and the power of a covenant relationship. Now, we all have relationships, and relationships are based on something. They're based on family, based on blood, based on friendship, based on work. We all have relationships that connect us in one way or another, or in many different ways. So when we talk about relationship and covenant, those two words, they go together really well. And I want to today encourage you that there is power and there is beauty in your relationships based in covenant. Say power and beauty. Why those words? Well, you know, power is ability. So when you have power, you can do things you could not ordinarily do. When you have power, when you have beauty, it means it looks good. It means it makes you feel good when you see it. It's something wonderful to behold. You know, I like to visit botanical gardens. Wife and I, we visit places, and we always, almost always wind up in that city's botanical gardens. Like to always go to see the flowers, the plants, both regional and from around the world, because to me, it's amazing to think about the variety of creation and what God has done. It's beautiful. So beauty is not just found in other things. Beauty is also found in yourself. It's also found in the things you're doing, your relationships to God, one another. It should be a beautiful thing. Amen. And that's important because, you know, in all of life, there are things not so beautiful. So it's good to focus on things that empower and things that are beautiful. Now, in Hebrews chapter 13 and 20, okay, it says, "Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Now listen, God brought Jesus to work something good in you. And he said he does it through the everlasting covenant, that he may make you complete in every good work to do his will. So then what Jesus Christ is doing in our relationship we have with him is that he is making us complete. Let's face it, all of us need something added. We need something helped, something fixed, something expanded. So whatever you're lacking, Jesus will make you complete, he says, to in every good work to do his will. Whatever it is, wherever you are in life right now, Jesus will make you complete in every good work. Now, that's an example of a relationship and covenant that is both powerful and beautiful. I rejoice to see people who break through to do things that God has given them grace to do. It's always a beautiful thing to see anybody, children especially, who grow up and then become both in career and in their personality. And so that we want then to look at relationships as the basis of our completion. So whatever we're lacking, there's a relationship in Christ or sometime with people that will bring into your life what you need. Because we didn't get here by ourselves. We always teach you, all our blessings come from God and other people. And you were smart enough to seize it. I mean, you had a part in receiving it, but all the blessings have come from God and other people. So then the proper basis, the proper and best basis for all relationships is covenant. Now, listen, y'all, we live in a world, in a culture that does not understand covenant. In our culture today, people want to take advantage of you. Black Friday, you know, you get some good deals maybe, but they get your money, amen? And most of the deals you get on Black Friday, you can get them throughout the year anyway. I saw this on Saturday. I got a message that said, "Black Friday is not over. This is over. No, Black Friday is not over. That's all this morning. Ada said, we have Black Friday every day. See, so folks are playing it. They're playing us, you know what I'm saying? That without covenant, we just kind of lurch from this to that. We believe in this and then believe in that and then let that go and take hold to this. We take that person, drop the other person. I mean, there's so much chaos with a lack of covenant. But when we have relationships that are based in covenant, we experience the beauty and the power of that covenant. And so that while the culture is a live in the moment type of culture, the culture we have in the kingdom of God in Christ is a firm foundation. So let me give you two examples of covenant relationship. We have through Christ, the Bible says in Hebrews 8, we have a better covenant established on better promises. Jesus gave his life, shed his blood. He called it the new covenant in his blood. So we have through salvation, we have a covenant that's a basis for everything else in life. I'm talking now about what we do with one another. So go to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles, 23rd chapter. And I'm going to read to you a few verses in the life of the people of Israel way back a long time ago. Because the Bible says the things written in the past were written for our learning. Now, we don't base our lives on this doctrine here in Old Testament. We learn lessons from the past and bring them current under our new covenant with Christ. But 2 Chronicles 23, verse 1. In the seventh year, Jehoiada strengthened himself and made a covenant with the captains of hundreds. And they went throughout Judah and gathered the Levites from all the cities of Judah and the chief fathers of Israel, and they came to Jerusalem. Now, get the picture here. So, now Jehoiada was a priest, not a king, he was a priest. And Jehoiada, as a priest, was responsible for connecting people to God. Jehoiada, he strengthened himself, made a covenant then with all the leaders of the people in Israel, and went throughout Judah, and they gathered the Levites. Now, Levites then were other priests. So all the priests under Jehoiada were all brought together in Jerusalem. Now, this was important because whenever God is wanting to do something great, he then will invite us to renew covenant with him. He'll invite us to reflect on our relationship, because everything that happens with us comes out of relationship with God and other people. So then, let's come together in Jerusalem, he said, and let's allow the Lord to help us renew this covenant. So it says here, they gathered them. Verse 3, 2 Chronicles 23, verse 3. Then all the congregation made a covenant with the king in the house of God. And he said to them, behold, the king's son shall reign as the Lord has said to the sons of David. Now read the whole context and you learn what's happening here is it's a unification effort to bring the whole nation together around the covenant they had with God. For example, as Americans, now we have respect for the nations of the world, but we pledge allegiance to the USA. Amen. We pledge allegiance to be citizens of this country. So if a war break out, I don't fight for the other side. I fight for my side, okay? Without covenant, there can be no progress. So before they went forward, Jehoiada then and the priests gathered all the people to make this covenant. So the Bible says that they made the covenant with all the people and the king, the leader, and so they will be unified in going forward. Come down to verse 16. Please note the response of people when they understood that they were in covenant with God. Hear me again. Look at the response of people who understand that they are in covenant with God. Verse 16, 2 Chronicles 23, verse 16. Then Jehoiada made a covenant between himself, the people, and the king. that they should be the Lord's people. We got to decide on that. Are we already God's people? Yeah, but we don't. We kind of lose it. So we lose sight of it. Sometimes we lose sight. You know, we have marriage retreats and stuff. We're already married, but to renew the marriage, to bring back the sense of the importance. I remember years ago, I was in a conference, a pastor's conference, and a man named Lewis Greenup was preaching to us, preaching about commitment to your wives, you know, to the guys in particular. And he preached about his wife who had had, I think, two or three cesarean sections to have their children. And that when he saw the scars, it reminded him of the commitment she made to have the children, to him, to be the father. It cost her. It was very painful and difficult to bear those children. Now listen to me. So Lewis began to preach about the scars, the commitment. But he helped us appreciate the depth of the sacrifice our wives have made. Not just in birth, but in their lives, right? So then the session ended. All us guys were going to the phones. Now, back in the day, we had no cell phone. How about that? A day with no cell phones. There was such a day, okay? So we're going to the hotel, and we're at the payphones, lined up two and three deep at payphone, calling home. We're calling our wives to thank God for them. See, when you renew covenant, something changes with you. Your behavior would change. So it says in 2 Chronicles 23:6, then Jehoiada made a covenant between himself, the people, and the king, that they should be the Lord's people. Watch what happened. Verse 17. And all the people went to the temple of Baal and tore it down. They broke it in pieces, its altar, its images. They killed Matan, the priest of Baal, before the altars. What's up with that? Why would they go attack the idols? Well, because they had been flirting with idols. They had idols in their lives. They had lost sight of covenant and had let compromise seep in their lives. And now they recognize the thing that we have allowed in our nation, in our house, all that needs to go. And so the Bible says, no one said go down there and do all that. That when the people realized that we are the people of God, we got nothing to do with Baal. And the stuff in our house in the back room with Baal's name on it, and the places I've been to down in town where the Baal stuff is, all of that, he says, when they realized they were God's people, their response was they went and tore the temple of Baal down. Tore it down. Erected. Now get this. So this is what happens. That when you know you're God's people and you're in covenant, whatever level it might be, when you realize it, it will change your perspective about your marriage, about your children, your parents, about your nation, about your pastor, about one another. I mean, when you know you're God's, when you covenant to be the people of God, you should be the Lord's people. When you know that we are God's people, And we don't see their appreciation for the things of God from God's people, then it shows us that, man, we got some work to do. Not work in our own flesh, but work in recognizing. So here it said, when they recognized they were God's people, all the people went to the temple of Baal because Baal was the problem in their lives. Baal was the problem in their homes. Baal was the problem in their nation. See, Baal represents false gods. So for them to go straight to tear down Baal stuff, let you know what they were into, what their problems were, what the issues were. Look at back at verse 12. It says, now when Athaliah heard the noise of the people, here's a person named Athaliah. When Athaliah heard the noise of the people running and praising the king, she came to the temple to the people in the temple of the Lord. And when she looked, there was the king standing by his pillar at the entrance, and the leaders and the trumpeters were by the king. And all the people of the land were rejoicing and blowing trumpets, also the singers, musical instruments, and those who led in praise. Now watch this now. This is very important. We read to you in verse 1 of 23rd chapter that Jehoiada gathered the people together, right? They made a covenant. And the people began to be reunited with their king, with their leaders, with their priests, with one another. And they were coming together. But then up comes this woman named Athaliah. Now, Athaliah was the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel. Say, Lord, have mercy. Now, listen, y'all. Ahab and Jezebel would be something like Adolf Hitler and some other person, woman. You know what I mean? Imagine male and female, the most crazy, evil people you can imagine. They have a child. Okay? So Athaliah was a daughter of Ahab and Jezebel. And we learned that she actually put herself in authority, made herself a leader. No one chose her. She put herself, inserted herself into the people of Israel. And she dissed the king, dissed the priest, that she was up in there, you know, just disrupting everything. I mean, everything opposite to covenant, okay? Now watch this. So then not only that, she actually killed a number of people, stirred up people in against the king, rebellion against the king. And so then when Jehoiada, again, who represents the things of God, called the people together, Athaliah, who represents everything we shouldn't be about, then shows up and says, what is this? And so it says here in 2 Chronicles 23:12, it says, she saw all the people, verse 13, she looked and the king was there. All the people of the land were rejoicing and blowing trumpets, and they were celebrating. God was moving. And she said, and so Athaliah tore her clothes and said, treason, treason. Isn't that something? So here's somebody not serving God is going to call what God is doing in the people treason. Yeah, it is treason. It's treason to you. It's treason to your false leadership. It's treason to the anti-Christ, anti-covenant spirit you've brought in our nation, in our families, and among us. Now, read the story. It goes on. I mean, I won't go here, but you find out, you know, what happened to Baal happened to her too. I just stopped reading because we read about in verse 16, how this is after she called treason on the people for serving God. And so that verse 16, after she called it treason, Jehoiada made a covenant with the people and with God that they should be God's people. And it said they went and tore down the temple of Baal. You keep reading. And they also got rid of Athaliah. Got her too. She's gone. It's some hard stuff back then. You know, we don't kill folk nowadays like that, but it was rough back then. It was like really rough back then. You know, so she's gone. Baal's gone. The whole thing's gone. And all because the people decided we are the people of God. We're going to be who we already are. Amen, somebody? There's this young man playing quarterback. Help me, brothers. There's this team. I think the Vikings have this guy. I forget his name. Second, third year guy who's playing very well right now. Football quarterback playing well right now. He's playing so well. People's like, where you been? How'd you get this good all of a sudden? He said, I've always been good. I never had a chance to show you. Until the coach chose me. The coach covered with me and said, you know what? This guy's down. You're the quarterback now. We're going to put it in your hands. And so when he was called to be The starting quarterback, he stepped up. You know, Zach Prescott. I mean, something. Listen, y'all. You put people in a position, and they find out who they are. Like, where they been all my life? They've always been there. You couldn't see them. They couldn't see themselves. It took covenant and relationship to bring the power and the beauty to bring it alive in those people. Y'all get this now? So this is what happened. When we make covenant with the Lord and with one another, the covenant is that we should be the Lord's people. Say, I am the Lord's person. Tell somebody, you are God's person. Tell somebody else, you are God's person. Children, tell each other, say, I am God's person. Say it, I am God's person. It means a lot, doesn't it? All right, look at it this way. Look at in life how we associate that. Look how if you're part of a sports team, you know, we got young people playing sports. You're part of a certain football team. Well, you know, if you're a team member, you know, if you are, what's the Warren Central mascot? What are they called? Warren Central. What are they? I don't know. The Warriors, okay? Well, I was an Arlington High School Golden Knight. You know, now that's gone away, and Ripper Rockets have gone away. But so then when I was an Arlington Golden Knight, I could never be I wouldn't be a Warrior. I was not a Warrior with Warren Central if I were a Golden Knight with Arlington High School. I mean, the point is, when you identify, we put the uniform on, the big A on the helmet, you know, for Arlington. Remember that, you know? And so we go out there in our black and gold. Still the best-looking uniforms in the whole city. Black, gold, best name, Golden Knights. It don't get no better than that. Except we didn't win the football game. You know, if we lost the game, we look good. We did look good now. We look great. Listen, y'all, when you know who you are, you don't have a problem. You don't have no problem identifying with who you are. With family, with your identity in Christ, with the role he's given you in life and ministry and profession. You just say, Lord, thank you. I'm all in. I'm the Lord's person. I'm the Lord's man. I'm the Lord's woman. And when you know that, it changes your behavior. It just changes your outlook on life. It changes your actions. All right. The Bible says Nehemiah chapter 9. Don't turn there. I'll read it to you. Nehemiah 9, verse 38. Now, Nehemiah, we know, led people back to their homeland to rebuild the walls. Remember all that? Well, even to get people to want to go back, they had to realize that, yes, you may be living in Babylon in captivity for your whole life, but it's not your home. I don't care how long you've been in bondage, it's never your home. I don't care how long you've been in trouble, it's never your home. Say trouble is not my home. Say, I would not be identified by my difficulties, by my lack. So then Nehemiah was able to motivate folk. They made covenant. They went back and they began to rebuild their homeland, their city, and the walls. So it says in verse 38 of Nehemiah chapter 9, it says, and because of all this, we make a sure covenant and we write it, and our leaders and our Levites and our priests seal it. See, because we're here on purpose and in the purpose of God, and we're God's people, we make a covenant, we're going to be in agreement, we're going to be together, we're going to become unified in Christ, as we say today, of course, in God back then, we're going to experience the power and beauty of covenant relationship. And so they began to do the work. The Bible said they finished the work in, I think, 52 days. I mean, some record time. They finished the work. And when the enemy came to taunt them, to threaten them, they just kept on working. They would not come off the wall. They would not stop. They would not stop because they had made covenant. When you make covenant with God, you don't stop. You don't quit. Because, you know, the one you're in covenant with is the senior partner, right? The strong one, the powerful one, is empowering you. Now, go to John 15. Let me give you a couple more thoughts here. So then, bring it to the current time, the current covenant, new covenant. Those were examples from Old Testament, old, you know, back in the day, but great lessons we learned unto this day. But today, let's bring it current. In John chapter 15, now Jesus is speaking now. He's the master. He's our Lord and Savior. He is the mediator of a new covenant. He's the reason we're all here today alive in our right mind.
Amen.
Amen. Without him, we all be in deep trouble. Come on. If we be here at all. You know? All right, verse 11, John 15. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy might be full. So Christ saying, I'm talking to you, Christ is saying, all of us here, older, you know, people, young people, children. Christ is saying to you that I have spoken to you that my joy can be in you. My joy. He says, and I have spoken to you that your joy might be full. So I'll put my joy in you and make your joy full. That's a good deal, isn't it? Verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. That's a covenant phrase there without the word being used. Love is the basis of covenant. Greater love has no one than this. Lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Now, hold on. Wait a minute. Time out. How can we be friends? And you say we're friends if you do what I command you. What kind of friendship is that? Oh, that's a real friendship. Because the idea of command is not to dominate and rule. It just means to ask something from. Now, you don't have any real friends. You can't ask them for help. Amen? You got lots of friends. Matter of fact, the word friend itself in our culture has been really diminished. Everybody's your friend now. You got Facebook. I got 1,000 Facebook friends. Some people have 5,000. That's the limit. 5,000. They cap you at 5,000. Friends. Well, I got news for you. You have 1,000 friends. You don't even have probably 100 friends. You'd be good to have really 10, 20 really good friends. I mean, now, friends that a friend, you're my friends if you do what I command you, do what I ask you. So a friend, you'll do for a friend whatever a friend asks. You will do it. Because a friend won't ask you for something that's cruel or wrong. And you can ask a friend for anything because you're very mindful that you won't abuse that privilege. Christ is saying, you are my friends if you do what I say. Come on now. If we say, well, Jesus is my Lord and Savior. All right. Is he your friend? Yeah, he's my friend. Did he ask you to pray? Did you pray? No, I ain't got time for that. Did he ask you to give tithes and offerings? Did he ask you to serve, help out here and there? Let's be real now. If that's why I'm saying, like the folk did back in the day, when you renew covenant, and the covenant says that we are the people, we are God's people, that would change how you look at everything, okay? So then, if my wife asks me to do something, man, my default answer is always yes. Now, I got to figure out how to do it and when I can, but you know, when she asks me for something, it's not that it's for to hear a yes or a no. She asks to hear yes. Right? I ask, she says yes. Because that's what a covenant relationship is about. Now, the other people's like, I don't know, I'll see. Here it is, like I always tell you, I'll try. The worst one of all time is, I might try. That's the all-time worst response. I'll try. I might try. Well, we ain't talking covenant now. You just somebody in my life. We are not in covenant. No way. Because if we were, you would try. You would do it. In fact, you would do it, find a way to do it. Amen. You would move heaven and earth to do it. Not for, listen, y'all, not for selfish and personal. I mean, go wash my car, go buy me a hamburger. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the purposes of God. And beginning with, not what I ask you, you ask me, what is Christ asking of us? It all begins, what's Christ asking of us? That's where it begins. So Christ said, he said, you are my friends if you do whatever I say. Watch this. No longer do I call you servants. This is heavy, y'all. I'm beyond just being a servant now. You go beyond serving, being a servant or a slave. He says, I don't call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. For I have called you friends, for all things I've heard from my Father I've made known to you. My, my, my. You know, if we had in our house maids and butlers, if we had to do family business, there wouldn't be no maid and butler in the room. The maid and butler don't get to come in to sit in on the family business. They just wash dishes, cut the grass, open and close the doors. See, Christ is saying, you are not my maids and butlers. You are my friends now. And so when you're friends, that means you're the family, you get to be in on the master's business. You're on the inside. You know everything that God wants you to know. You know stuff people who don't know God do not know. You know things even Christians who don't serve God don't know. Because even a believer has to step into maturity and step into a place where I value my walk with God so much until I'm going to live like a friend of Jesus so that he don't call me a servant, he calls me friend. That's why the word friend is so important. Friend is a very important word, and it's been kind of ruined in our culture. It really has been ruined. So I'll just say covenant relationship, all right, to replace what used to be called friend. It's still called friend, but I'm defining it. So he says, everything I heard from my Father made known to you. You did not choose me, I chose you. How about that? God chose you. He didn't choose Jesus, he chose you. I mean, I preach here today because he chose me. He chose me. I didn't choose him, he chose me. And then he said he'll choose you and appoint you to go and bear forth fruit, that your fruit should remain. So then the key to all this then, at this point, I'm going to close here, is in this type of relationship of covenant, you must have ears to hear. Because if he said, you're my friends, if you do what I command or say, that means I'm hearing for what he has to say. I'm listening to him. I'm hearing him. I'm getting instruction from him. All right? And think about this is that we don't just become friends with God and hear what he says so that God will feel good about us and like us. No, 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 no. All this is happening because that's how God blesses us. He blesses us by the instruction he gives us. He will speak to you. He will guide you. He will lead you. And so it's in the leadership of Jesus. It's in hearing what he says. It's in doing what he says that all your blessings come. Not some. All. All your blessings come from following Jesus, from obeying his command, doing what he wants you to do. Amen, somebody? And listen, y'all, in the spirit of obedience to God reflects in obedience to people in this world that you should be obedient to and help and support. So that the character I have with Christ is the same character I have when I'm working for somebody, with somebody. It's the same character. It's the same character. I'm listening, all right? I'm not the guy. I was never the student or the person. You got to say something twice and three times before I get it. Oh, I got it the first time. Because if you're speaking English and you're speaking clearly, why wouldn't I hear you? Right? We don't hear folk because we don't have a covenant with them. So we're like, what'd you say? What are you talking about? I just got through explaining. I don't know what you say it again. Are you just telling me we're not in covenant? Because if you're in a covenant relationship, you are listening. You're taking it all in. And so for a lack of that, there is so much mess in the world, y'all. I mean, so much mess in families and companies because folk don't have covenant with their own family sometimes and are not listening, not obeying, not helping, not supporting, and it's just not, you know, but the key is it ain't hopeless. The thing is, if my wife and I got a problem, I can't straighten her out. She can't straighten me out. If we both go to God and get the covenant correct, right, then I'm going to see her the way I should see her. If I get my heart right with God, that fixes everything. Come on, somebody. I mean, I've counseled folk and marriage folk and friends. I'm like, hey, we just can't. He said this, she said that. Both of y'all need to get with Jesus. You're just carnal is your problem. I don't ever say that. I want to. You know, you just can't. You know, you can't even tell folks the truth nowadays. You can listen, y'all. You can tell a covenant person the truth. Everybody else, you got to dance. Tiptoe on the tulips. Because your problem is, my problem is, I'm just carnal-minded, full of the world. That's my issue. So how to resolve the issue? Renew covenant. What covenant? To be the Lord's person. Amen? And so guess what, man? When I change, all my circumstances change. And that's something, when I get right, my wife is right. She's okay now. Wow, she got herself straightened out. No, she didn't. I got straightened out. It's amazing the perplexity we bring into our relationships when we ourselves are not right with God. I mean right, not right, not say. I mean just, you know, in correct alignment with him. All right? So then I just leave it there. Let's take this away that let's have ears to hear. Because whatever we need to become or do is going to come in from the instruction we receive from God or the people he may send across our path. And that when we have renewed covenant with the Lord, with ourselves, we're going to be able to be renewed with everybody else.